Jesus. His name shall be Jesus. I remember on Christmas when I was 12 years old, and this was back when there were baseball players. I was a huge Red Sox fan, and there were, I still am, but I was real big. I used to watch the games all the time. I used to know every single player and all their statistics. And Oil Can Boyd, if you don't know who he was a pitcher, and he used to have all this gold bling on, this gold everywhere. And a lot of the players back then used to wear gold necklaces with different things on them. And I thought that was really cool. And I wanted a gold necklace. That's all I asked for Christmas that particular year. And you know what? It could have been fake, and I wouldn't have known the difference. But I'm like, that's the only thing I'd like to have this Christmas. So I can, when I'm playing ball, the gold will be, when I'm running the bases, it'll fall out, and then I have to put it back in. And so, it's Christmas. And I go in, and I used to go to my grandparents' house. And my grandparents used to have our whole family over, like my cousins and my aunts and uncles and things. And as we went over, I get to get there Christmas Eve because we get there late Christmas Eve. And I got there, and some of the gifts are already out, a bunch of them. And what I used to like to do, I used to walk around and look at every gift and figure out which one was mine and try to figure out what it was. And I used to shake them a little bit, and then I'd hear my grandmother going, "Stop shaking the presents!" I go, "What do you mean? I wasn't shaking a present. I heard you shake the present." And anyway, there was this one present I found. And it was enormous. It was the biggest present that I've seen at my age there. I'm going, "That, who is that for? Who is that present for?" And it was just mammoth. And I looked at it, and it had my name on it. And I go, "Are you kidding me? Are you, what? That's my," and my grandfather goes, "What are you doing, Colby?" and I go, "Nothing, Papa, I'm just looking at the presents." He said, "Don't open anything." I said, all right. And I'm like, what could this be? It was very, very heavy, and I'm going, "What is that thing?" So that Christmas, I had opened all my gifts. And it was down to this massive gift. How do you measure the value of a gift? How do you measure the value of a present? How do you judge what something's worth? We all have ideas of what's the best present, or what's the most valuable, or what's worth the most, or perhaps is it useful? What I'd like to do this morning, I'd like to examine God's presence to you and to me. It's wrapped up, this big, big gift, all wrapped up. What is it? What is it? This morning, Christmas love, the story of God's gift to us. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. How do you measure the value of God's gift to you? I would suggest three ways. The first one is God's gift to you is measured by its usefulness. What is the usefulness of God's gift? Notice in verse 9 there, it says, so we might live. So we might live. That's pretty useful, right? A pretty useful gift. So we might live. In John 10:10, it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What a promise that is. It's not just, hey, you know, I've come just to hang out with you for a little while and then I'm going to leave. No, I've come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's not just this life that we're just walking around and, man, what's this about? No, it's abundant life. It's abundant life. When we're in Christ and Christ is in us, we can live an abundant life. Not a mediocre life, but an abundant life. Jesus often spoke like this. And they were kind of like, what? What's he talking about? But God has made you special. He has made you a special person for a special purpose. God has made you a special person for a special purpose. I don't think you heard me. God has made you a special person for a special purpose, just as he's made me a special person for a special purpose. The sad thing is a lot of times we don't believe that's the case. And we're like, I'm not special. What makes me special? He chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be set apart for him. That comes from Ephesians 1:4. You are specially created. You are crafted by God. He designed you in his image. He created you in his image. And you were like a lump of clay, and he took and he shaped you and created you. And you came from being a lump that got molded and created by God. Wow. Created us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. Don't ever forget this, that God has made you a special person for a special purpose. Write that down, please. Okay, you're writing it in your heart. It's there, right? You etched it in your heart? Okay. How do you measure the value of God's gift to you? The second way is God's gift to you is measured by its cost. By its cost. What did it cost? It costs a lot. And a lot of times, we measure things by what it costs. We need to give God our best. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want the cheap stuff. He wants our best. He wants the best that you and I have. Yet oftentimes, we just give our leftovers. I'm so busy. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that because I'm too busy. And we give them our leftovers. Wants our best. 2 Samuel 24:24. I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Everyone heard that? David said if he was going to give a sacrifice to the Lord, He was going to give his best. He wasn't just going to come and bring, oh, you know, that's my best lamb. That's my best, you know, and I got to keep that one because I'm going to be able to eat that and it will really be a good one. Or, you know, he brought the best. He brought his best as an offering. He wasn't willing to compromise that. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it repeats over and over again in the scriptures. When people came and gave God not their best, when they didn't give God their best, bad things happened, didn't they? Bad things took place. When we don't give God our best, our souls are going to suffer. God wants our best. I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. May that be one of the theme verses of our lives. God, I'm giving you my best. Whatever's my best, that's what I'm giving you. And it's not all about what we do. It's what Christ has done. So don't get that wrong. It's not about what we have done. It's what Christ has done. It's not what I can achieve and accomplish. Some of us like to get compliments. I think all of us do. But some of us like, oh, you did such a good job. You did. Oh, that was great. That was great. And if we don't, we're like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Oh, why didn't anyone compliment me? Why didn't... And some of us do work in order to hear other people's words that say, good job, good job. Christ came to serve. Like, everything's flipped on its head. It's totally reversed from our thinking. Because often we think that, what can I get out of this? What can I do? What's someone going to say? What are they? I really want someone to say something good about me. It's not about that. It's about this being able to serve and love and care. And that can be hard. But if God is for us, oh, yeah, I like that. Some of you got that one. If God is for us,
who can be against us?
Yeah, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. Nothing. God's gift to us is valuable. That doesn't put a smile on your face. It is. It's valuable. How do you measure the value of God's gift? God's present to you is measured by its effectiveness. God's present to you and to me is measured by its effectiveness. If I get a toaster for Christmas, It should be able to toast bread, right? If I get a coffee maker, it should make coffee. If I get a curling iron, I'm going to re-gift it. But it's for... You know, God's gift is for a purpose. I mean, God's present to you is measured by its effectiveness. If I have a curling iron, it's not going to do anything real effective for me, will it? Well, maybe. I don't know. I might burn myself because I've never used one before, but that's not what it's meant for. What is the love of God intended to do? Anyone? 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 Change us. Change us. God's love is intended to change us. It's meant to change us. And if you have really discovered God's love and actually, like, wow, God does love me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that none shall perish but have eternal life. Woo-hoo! God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son that no one should perish but have eternal life. Thank you, God, for that. Because, man, I'm kind of messed up here. But, God, it's about you, not me. And it's about what you're doing in me. And I'm not perfect, but you are. And I can trust that. And his grace is sufficient for me and for you. In the midst of our weakness, he allows us to be made strong. That word ought sounds like a suggestion in that passage, this particular passage that we're talking about today. But it's not. It's not just some suggestion that God's making us listen to. And just saying, hey, if you want to do that, it's like, in the Greek, ought could be translated as must. The New Testament was written in Greek. And because of that, a lot of times we can't necessarily, it's harder to translate certain words, but this particular word, ought, can be also translated as must. The root word means actually, it actually means to own something. You owe something. You owe a payment. You owe something. So you are under obligation. You must pay it back. Let me restate that last part in verse 11 again. So if you have your Bible, it says this. If God loved us like this, we certainly must love each other. Why? Because God is not done loving you. He's not done loving me. He's not done with you forming you. You're still being formed. You're still being formed. All those troubles and afflictions that you face, God's shaping you. He's shaping you. He is transforming you. He is allowing you and me to experience him more deeply and intimately. And in the midst of pain and sorrow, you may think, where the heck is God? God, where are you right now? Oftentimes when we start asking that question, it's because we haven't really been seeking God. Knock on the door. Knock and the door will be open. Seeking you will find. A lot of times we're not knocking. A lot of times we're not seeking. And sadly, a lot of times we're not finding. But God's saying, I've been here all along. You've just got to let me carry you through that. This is a mess. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Wait. Don't just focus on this. You got to focus on this. I've got to focus on this because this is important. Know who you are. We need to know who we are, right? We need to know who we are. And this is directed to us. Ready? Let's read this together. Okay, are you ready? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Woo! That's who you are. And may that be. May that be what our life begins to be shaped like. And here's, I read the NIV translation earlier for 1 John 4:9-11. And I told you, I think last week, that the message is not a translation, it's a paraphrase. But I want us to read this one out loud. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once... Friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. We certainly ought to love each other. If we have any differences, any conflicts, any issue, we got to lay it before God. And we need to discover the true unity of Christ, the unity of the faith. Because, man, when we are living unified as body of believers, it's beautiful. So I want to finish my Christmas story. I left you hanging, didn't I? So my grandparents made me wait for that gift till the end. And they gave my cousin a gift. You've met Ryan. He's been here a few times. They gave him a gift. He was 9 years old at the time. And they gave him the gift before me. And it was this little box. And I'm going, what is in that little box? He opens the little box. You know what he got? A gold chain. I go, what? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm like, why does he get a gold chain? And no one in my family had ever seen me react like that. So my aunt goes, Kobe, are you upset? What are you doing? Like, I've gotten upset before, but they never saw me get greedy upset. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, are you kidding? I was just freaking out. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And my grandparents said, well, Kobe. Relax. You still have the big gift. I said, I don't want the big gift. I don't want the big gift. I wanted that. And as a greedy 12-year-old, I'm going, that's my gift. You gave him my gift. I can't believe he's got my gift. And I walked away for a second. And then I came back. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. And they go, everybody's just looking at me. In our family, what we would do, Christmas opening gifts would take a long time because every individual would open a gift all the way around. We had like 20 people, and everybody would be opening a gift, one after the other. So you'd like there all day. And my one aunt used to like to try to hide a gift like way past, so she would be the last one to open the gift. My aunt's like in her 40s back then. I'm like, what's wrong with you? So anyway, let's get back to this. So I come back in. My grandfather brings over this big gift, and it was probably about this tall. And it was about this wide, and then it had a bump down the bottom. I'm like, what the heck could this be? So I start opening it. And I open the gift. You gotta understand, my grandfather, I get some of my silliness from him, my goofy, like doing funny things. But I open it. It had this beautiful red wrapping paper. I open the thing. It's a cardboard box with, it's like ripped and like an old cardboard box. I'm going, what is this? I'm getting something used. And then I open it up, and he has stuffed with newspaper. So I'm throwing things, I'm like, I can't reach the bottom, because I'm standing on a chair, because it was like this high. I'm a little guy, and I'm standing on the chair trying to, and finally, I get down, and there's still a little newspaper there, but it's a cement block. And I go, oh, and I pulled more newspaper out, and I threw it. It was a cement block! I'm going, it's a cement block. Why did you give me a cement block? And he said, just rip the box open. Just rip it. Just rip it apart. Sorry, rip this box apart. And I'm like, ripping the, because I was mad, ripping the box. I finally get through it. And I see the cement block. And if you know a cement block, they have a hole in it, right? I'm a 12-year-old guy. I don't think the cement block has a hole in it. So I looked at the cement block. They said, what are you doing? I said, it's a cement block. And he said, just pick it up. So I get down, and I pick up the cement block. And he said, lift it up higher. So I went, and it's kind of heavy. I'm 12, right? I don't have all these muscles. Well, I still don't. But hey, maybe I do. But anyway, I lift that up, and there's this box in there. And I pulled it out. What is it? And I knew what it was. And I ripped it open. And I opened the box. Here's a gold chain. I felt like a jerk. But after I got all of my feelings of feeling like a jerk, I went, yeah! Woo! And I started running around the house. I started running around the house, and my grandfather starts laughing. Everybody starts laughing. They all just start laughing. You want to talk about a lesson learned? I don't know that my grandfather intended it to teach me a lesson. I have carried that with me my entire life. My entire life, I've carried that with me. God gives us good gifts. Good gifts. Good gifts. He gives us the ultimate gift. Eternal life. And maybe you're struggling right now. And maybe you need to come to that place where you surrender everything to Jesus. We're going to take a time of silent, kind of meditate on the word, but reflect on what we talked about today. And if you desire to surrender to God, talk to Him. Tell Him. And it can be as simple as, Lord, I surrender to You. Here I am. I'm a mess. I'm an emotional basket case. I'm frustrated. Don't understand things. But here I am, God. Take a time. Be in still. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. Father God, as we surrender to You today, I ask, O God, that we will discover the hope that You have for us, that we will connect more deeply with You, Lord. Father, some of us have never really turned our lives over to You fully. And God, I ask, Lord, that this may be the time we do that. Lord, there's a lot of stuff that life throws at us that just doesn't make sense. But God, You always make sense. If you surrender to God this morning, I just ask that you stand up. Everybody's head still bowed. Just stand up where you're at. I know that's a bold thing to do and kind of scary sometimes, but sometimes we got to stand. We got to stand. As we stand before God this morning, may we discover the peace and forgiveness of a God that saves and redeems. Lord, we are broken people. We are sinners. And we are saved by your grace. And Lord, as we stand here this morning, Lord, I ask, oh God, that your Spirit will purify our minds and our hearts, Lord. May we discover the comfort of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, for those in here that are having times of difficulty and pain and hurt, and Lord, may we surrender to you, Jesus. And Lord, some of us are at the beginning stage of the journey, Lord, and trying to figure it all out. And Lord, you know the plans you have for us, and you declare it in your scriptures. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us hope and a future. Oh God, I ask, Lord, that you will fill us with your Spirit. Lord, may the peace that surpasses human understanding fall upon us all, sitting or standing in this place right now, God, so we can discover you more deeply, that the Word of God will speak to us. And Lord, may we be a light to a world that sees darkness. And Lord, pour out your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen. 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 Amen.